lot of things.
Afternoon, evening, whatever this is. Good to see everybody. When everybody find their way back to your pew, the one's got your name on it. It's really quiet. Shh. We'll just be real quiet while I take a nap. Oh, my. It's good to see you. This same announcements this morning. Do remember our services, though. I hope you'll be praying. Don't forget Revival, 4th, 5th, and 6th. I was telling the men, there's a church up in Union Grove, which isn't far from our house. It's Calvary Baptist Church. Brother Pope is their pastor. They're having a meeting. I think they've had 68 saved, something like that. And so God's still able. It's just how much do we want it? And so let's just be praying. Open up that same window. Pour it out here. We'd love to see it. So do pray for revival. Then, Brother, did you send me to the guy, the TikTok thing or whatever it is, the black guy? Brother Russell sent me a, I don't know what TikTok, except for a clock goes TikTok. I don't know what all that other stuff is. I'm not a social media guy. But he sent me a video, and I thought, you know, I was convicted. I really was. It was a black gentleman that was, he says, I was getting ready to do what everybody else is doing. I was at the gas pump and I was going to do the thing saying how terrible prices were and this, that, and everything. He says, but the Lord smote my heart basically and said, you ought to be thankful you can buy gas. I thought, well, you know, how true. He said, I remember a time in my life I couldn't buy gas. And I think we can all probably say amen there, but. So maybe sometimes we ought to quit complaining and just start praising. And you'd be amazed at what that will do. So, amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then Brother Russell's going to come and we'll sing a couple of songs. Father, we love you. Sure are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity one more time to be in this place. I pray, God, Lord, that you just bless tonight. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you open our hearts. God, we sure would love to see that revival. We'd love to see your spirit just move so freely in this place. God, love to see conviction. Love to see, God, just sinners saved. And God, I know it's got to start somewhere. And God, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be serious about our prayer life, to be serious about, God, the work that needs to be done, Lord. Lord, we're just going to praise you anyway. God, thank you for all you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Turn to number 35. Or everybody's slow about moving. That's the way I feel. So let's all stand up. Number 35. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. We're going to go do the first, second, third, and fifth verse. All right. So 1, 2, 3, and 5. All right. So here we go. Let's sing it out. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Sorry, hold on. All right, that kind of got a frog in there. All right, here we go. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. On the last verse, here we go. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. All right, flip over to number 27. Number 27. I've always loved this song. Just never done it much. I don't know if we've done it before. I'm sure you've probably heard it. But we'll sing all three verses all the way through. And it's a good Easter song. So we'll practice up now and sing it again at Easter, I guess. So here we go. Let's sing through this, all three verses. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, while Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them. Thus did he pray, and while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. On the last one. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises never find end. Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners fleeting, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
I don't know who's singing. Ask him who's singing. He looks at me and says, I don't know who's singing. I said, I don't know. I don't know. Amen. Appreciate the good songs. And boy, that last one, Blessed Redeemer. To think about the Lord would even consider doing what He did for me and you. So what a blessed Savior. Again, we're going to pray here in just a moment. Miss Teresa's going to come and sing. Again, as we spoke in the prayer room, even in the deacon's meeting, there's so much to pray for. Seems like everywhere you turn around, seems like there's just something going on, somebody going through something. So shouldn't ever run out of prayers. Should be plenty to pray about. And we surely need to be praying. Do pray for our church, for missionaries. Remember the loss, of course. I hope we get you some tracts. Preacher, I don't know how to do this. Look dumb and hold one out. They'll take it because you just look dumb. You know, they'll feel sorry for you. Take it, though. But my wife was telling me, I don't go. I think it's a sin to go to Walmart. But my wife went to Walmart the other day, and she said there was actually Harvest Baptist Church was over in the parking lot, working the parking lot at Walmart, handing out tracts. So there you go. That's what it's about. If you can't find people, you can find them at Walmart. So, just pray for the lost. Remember our revival, of course. Continue to pray for Miss Rose. Brother Melvin says the hospice still don't understand what's going on. She's just hanging on for the Lord to come. And so just continue to pray for that family, of course, and a lot of other needs. Continue to pray for Brother Poplin, of course. So do pray for that. So we're going to pray. Miss Teresa's going to come and get a song, and we'll get into service. Father, we sure are thankful once again, God, to be able to pray. God, I think about bearing one another's burdens. God, it seems like there's so much sometimes, Lord. And as Moses said, it's too heavy. Lord, I know there's not a thing I can do about any of these things, Lord. But I know through you, God, you can do anything. And Lord, we're asking your will to be done in these situations. Help us, Lord, to realize it's not about us. It's about you. And Lord, just bless this time. Lord, bless this the song that Miss Teresa is going to sing. Just pray, Lord, to speak to our hearts. And then bless your preaching, the Word of God tonight. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. For us in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee. The picture that runs to my mind as we sung that song. One of these days we're going to see him in that fashion. He is holy. And one of these days we will bow and we will praise that holy one. So take your Bibles this evening, two places, book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and then Psalms, chapter 37. Jeremiah, chapter 29, and Psalms, chapter 37. As you're turning, I'll tell you a little story I heard this week, and I thought, yeah, you know how us older folk, the young folk, like to make fun of us? Yeah. It's all right, one day they'll be old, so I'll make fun of them. This grandma was, her granddaughter had come over to visit. And grandma says, "Honey, hand me the phone book." And the little granddaughter says, "Mom or grandma, you're so old-fashioned. Here, use my iPhone." So she slams it on the table, kills the spider, and busts the phone. So there you go. Grandma knew what she was doing. Nowadays, you told a young person to grab the phone book, they wouldn't even know what that was, probably. I remember. I remember when Sears sent a catalog every year. That was always a joy in the mail. To sit there and thumb through the Sears catalog. Oh, me. All right. Jeremiah chapter 29, Psalms chapter 37. Found your place? You can. Let's stand together as we honor and reverence this great book, the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. This is what the Lord says. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." If you thought, just thought there for a minute, you know, stop there and think that about, that the Lord thinks about you. We think about a lot of stuff. Well, some people don't think, but I try to think. But the Lord says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now look over in the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37 this evening. Psalms 37, look at verse number 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Again, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Let's pray. Father, we sure are thankful, God, for the truth. Thankful, Lord, tonight, Lord, we know, God, where the truth lays. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you just help us to see. Help us to open our minds, our hearts to what saith the Scriptures, Lord. And we sure will thank you for what you do. Of course, in your precious name we do pray and we do ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. We looked at, again, if you were with us this morning, I think most everybody was here this morning that was here tonight. But we looked at the book of Jonah this morning, talking about, again, the call, the choices and all those things. We looked at that. Well, tonight we want to sort of play along with that just a little bit this evening and think about the thoughts that God has a plan for you. Now, I don't always know the plan. There's been times in my life personally, and you might think silly, but there's been times in my life that I said, Lord, I have no idea what we're doing. I said, I've even gone so far in my prayers to ask the Lord, said, Lord, even Noah, not knowing really what an ark was building one. I don't even know what we're doing right now, Lord. But I do know that God has a plan. God has a purpose for our lives. And here we found, again, in Jeremiah chapter 29, the thoughts that the Lord is thinking about you. And he's thinking not just about the beginning, not just about the middle, but God's looking all the way out to the end of our lives. And then we find here in Psalm chapter 37, the great truth that the steps of a good man, and it's questionable, I guess, what a good man would be, but they're ordered by the Lord. So tonight, we need to understand, when I was going through the message in my mind again this afternoon, some young folk wanting, everybody remember back in the days when GPS and all that stuff started to come and everybody was buying TomToms and what was the other one? Garmin's. But I remember, especially out where we were living, there was many times that car would just be sitting there spinning around and around and around and around because it had no idea where I was at. I knew where I was at, but that thing on the dash surely didn't know where I was at. I'd be driving out on the grass, it said. Why? Because it didn't know. But today I think about, I'd like to do this one time. I'd like to go to a school. About, we'll say fifth or sixth graders, and hand them an open map and say, fold it. Most of them even know what a map looked like, probably. But I remember being taught in school how to read a map, how to fold a map. But we need direction. We need purpose. And greater than that, we need to understand it's not about my direction. It's not about what I want. Tonight, every one of us, God has thought, God has put in place, God has directed, God has ordered the steps for you and I to get from point A to point B and everything in between. So I want to look at that plan tonight. I like plans. I don't like chaos. I like plans. I like to have an idea. They don't always go the way I want them to, but I like to try to have a little bit of structure to things. I don't like to just jump off, you know, and think, we'll see how it goes. I like to have some structure. And so does God. God's not a God of disorder. He has order. But I believe it would be good for us tonight to realize about this plan that God has for us. Our steps are ordered. We ought to listen. You know, I'll be honest with you. I truly put my trust in that woman in my phone that tells me turn left or right or whatever. Because I've been places that I didn't know where I was. And I didn't do anything looking forward, you know, I didn't plan. I remember when I was a boy, Daddy, we'd be going somewhere for weeks before we got. He'd have that map out on the table, figuring out where we were going, the best routes and all that. All I do now is start. And then that woman in the box starts telling me how to go there and get there. Oh, she's got me in trouble before. I was like, what are you thinking? But I trust her that she'll get me from where I am at to where I want to be. If we can trust a woman in a box, I still think they ought to be a redneck one. If I knew how to do that stuff, I'd do a redneck one. Go down here to the big tree and take a ride. That's how I do big directions. But God wants to direct you. I was in the band when I was in high school. We had the conductors and all that stuff. I've always wondered a little bit. I know they have purpose. But you ever seen a big orchestra? You know, they're professionals. They know exactly what they're doing. But I've never watched any of them watch that dude up there doing like this. They're all watching their paper. But if that guy wasn't up there directing them, some would be fast, some would be slow. We all need direction. We need guidance. So let's look at this plan this evening. Look over Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you know these verses. The first point that I'd like to make this evening about this plan is it's an established plan. It's not a mystery. God has set some things in motion. God has established. The Bible says that when He picked me up out of that horrible pit, that He set my feet upon a rock. But what else did He say? He established my goings. So tonight, I just wonder so many times how many times I've veered off to the left or right. Oh, I know a better way. We've all been there. I've taken my family, literally, I've taken my family down some roads that you never know what's down there unless you drive them. We was coming back from Brother Sam's church years ago. And I was looking for the easiest, fastest way to go from Hidnight, North Carolina, back to my house. So I was trying anything and everything. And she's in the nursery tonight, but we started out, I knew the turns I was making, and it was dark. And we made a bunch of turns. And I was thinking, well, I need to head that way. So I was starting to take turns to get me that way. And you can ask her after service. We went from a 2-lane road to a 1-lane road to almost like a driveway. And I looked over at my wife and says, I don't know where we're going. She says, turn around. I was like, that won't do no good because I don't know how I got here. I didn't make too many turns. I had no idea how to backtrack out. But I did have one good logical thing. There were power poles. So I knew I was still in existence of people. But I kept traveling that thing, and we finally came out over at Lenny's Mill. Did you ever go back that way? Lord, no. I learned a lesson. Don't go that way. Teresa and I were out in Montana three years ago now. And one day, me and her just out riding around. And we saw a sign that said, Hidden Moose Lake. That way. So I said, let's go that way. And so we started driving. For 23 or 28 miles, we saw nobody. We were on gravel roads, and I kid you not, we were on a logging road, is what it looked like. Oh, we saw beautiful things. I've never seen so many eagles in a tree that I've ever seen it when we were up through there. And I was almost this close to saying, honey, we're going to turn around. I did know how I got there. I said, we need to turn around. I don't think there's no Hidden Moose Lake out here. We went just a little bit further. And sure enough, there was a state park. Had a state bathroom. I was like, but I could never tell somebody how to get there. It's just one of those things, you know, we found it. One of the most eeriest places I've ever been in my life. I've never heard quiet like I heard quiet there. I mean, we did exactly what they tell you not to do. They tell you that when you're out in that area, first have bear spray. Second of all, make noise. That way it runs the bears off. Because they have the bears that will eat you. But I told my wife, I said, honey, be still. I want to see if there's anything around the lake. And we went down, looked around the lake, didn't see nothing. Come back, you ain't going to believe what was in the parking lot of where we parked at. Bear scat. Mr. Bear was there. We just didn't see him. But directions. God will get us from point A to point B. Look here in Proverbs chapter 3. I hadn't got there myself yet. I would try to quote it, and I probably could, but I'd probably mess up. So let's just read it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. The Bible says this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. Lord, I don't know what we're doing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, tonight we put so much trust in a voice coming out of our phone to tell us how to get somewhere. And God says, if you'll just listen and trust me, I'll direct your path. I'll get you where you need to be. And he'll do it in the right way. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I don't want... Now listen, there's a lot of people. And I do. I still honor my pastor. He's my pastor. And I hope that that's how you see me to you as your pastor. But I'm no good unless I'm getting my information from God. But there's a lot of people that will listen to so many other people. They'll trust a preacher instead of trusting the Bible. They'll trust a person instead of trusting the Bible. And God will speak to us. God will direct you if you listen. It's an established plan. Look over in Proverbs chapter 20. We're going somewhere. I hope we don't get lost on the way. God has a plan. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? You know, the Bible talks about over in the book of James how God warns us to say that we're going to do this and this and this on tomorrow when you don't even know there is a tomorrow. Nobody knows what's going to happen between now and tomorrow. I don't know. You don't know. God knows. I don't know what's going to happen the next minute. But God does. So we need to understand that God is directing if we'll follow. And there's no way. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I want to go where He wants me to go. I want to see what He wants me to see. Look over in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. You know, I've been saved since I was 13 years old. I sure haven't enjoyed the trip, though. God has let me see some things. God's let me do some things. It's been a good trip. And I don't want to drive. I'm just along for the ride, man. But God has a plan for us. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You better not trust you. You know, us old fellers, you know, you need to stop and ask for direction. I ain't stopping. I know where I'm at. I had a guy in our first church. He was a truck driver. He says, you're never lost as long as you got gas. So, can't argue with that. We don't know. We can't see. We can't even begin to fathom what God's got in store between here and there. Don't trust yourself. One more place. Look over to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. I love the first phrases. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Tonight, that's my God. See, tonight we're on a path. We're on a plan. God's got something in store. And it is this evening. It's an established plan. God has already set things in order. I think about when you read about, you know, how the Lord formed this whole earth. He knew every crook, every mountain. I can only picture in my mind as he was forming out, as he went across Calvary. Because he knew that would be the place that Christ would die. What a plan. So it's an established plan. Can I say this too? You know, when our kids were small, we traveled a lot. We were in the road a lot, going from here and there and everywhere. We played a lot of games in the car. I think I told you about the one about counting cows. Count cows, you find a graveyard, you lose them all. So we counted cows. We did the alphabet on tags or signs. I don't know all the games that we played, trying to keep the kids occupied. You know, we didn't have iPads and TV and all that stuff in our car, you know. Nowadays, you can just take your house with you right in your car. But we had to, you know, sometimes I get a little tired of driving. We drove back from Brother Silvertooth down there, first time we went down there, and we broke it up going down. And I said, I'm going to drive it all the way back. By the time I hit Atlanta, that was a mistake. We 16 hours in, and I was like, I ain't stopping now. I'm too close to home. That was the most miserable last couple, 3 hours of my life. But can I say this about the plan or the path of God? It is established. But I believe tonight I can say with no doubt in my mind, it's an exciting plan. It's exciting. Because I don't know what's coming. I don't know what God's got in store. I don't know what God's going to do next. It's an exciting plan. I think about what David said over there in 2 Samuel there. We know that the hurt of that moment, you know, because of his sin, you know, that child dies. But when the guards come to him and was going to tell him, he made a statement that says, who can tell what the Lord will do? He didn't know if the Lord would save that child or the Lord would let that child die. He didn't know, but he says, who can tell what the Lord might do? And that's what we all look at on the excitement of this trip. You know, sometimes I look across the church and I think, man, y'all look like y'all's about as enthused as if you was at the funeral home. We ought to realize that God is leading us. We're following after God Himself, and He's got a plan for our lives. And it isn't a drudgery. It's not a have to. It ought to be an exciting adventure to see what's next. My wife did it the other night. We got home, and she says, "Come here." And I looked up, and man, the sky was just beautiful. Dark, and the stars were just like you could just outreach and touch them. You know who let that happen? My God. It's an exciting trip. Oh, there's so many things that, and I've not seen near what I'd like to see on this earth. There's so many things that I would love to see with my eyes. The mountains, the oceans, whatever it might be. And I do get excited. Teresa's uncle, Uncle Shorty, he's like a kid. We've taken him with us on vacation many, many times. But Uncle Shorty, the night before we go on whatever trip we're going on, he can't sleep. He's like a youngin'. He's so excited that we're going somewhere that he just can't sleep. I wonder if we ever get that way just at the path that God has got us on. So many times we can't see the beauty. We can't see what God's doing because we're so faced with ourselves and our problems. But we need to realize that God is directing our steps. God has a place and a plan for our lives. And realize there's something exciting because God does exciting things. I think about Abraham. God told Abraham to get up and go. He didn't know where he was going. But he obeyed God and trusted God to get him where God wanted him to be. Can you imagine the things he saw? Can you imagine the things that he felt from God on that journey? And I'm on the same journey. I'm going somewhere. I don't know all the places God's got prepared for me to go. But it's exciting to think about what God can do. Oh, I've seen God do some great things. I've seen God save. Ain't that exciting? That God would let us see a child born into the family of God. I've seen God get a hold of a person's life and they get excited and they surrender themselves to the work of God and they go all in to serve Him. That's exciting. I've seen God take something that was nothing and make it into something that the world would never even dreamed of. That's exciting. But we need to realize this plan, it is an established plan, but it's also an exciting plan. Now, there's a lot of things physically that I'd like to do, but I don't know how to do it. I would love, it amazes me some people that have talents. I've got a banjo at my house. It looks good. It's about all it does. I tried to learn it. No talent. But then to watch somebody take a banjo and pick it up, I'm thinking, wow, look at that. I'd love to do that. But I don't have. There's so many things that I can think of physically that I would love to be able to do that I don't know how in the world to ever get it done. But tonight, as I think about the plan that God has for us, His children, you know, I would love to be financially to the place that I could tell my wife when we get up in the morning, hey, let's go here. But I can't do that. We have to figure out how we're going to do that. Or if we even can do that to get there. But with God, not only is it an established plan, not only is it an exciting plan, but I want to say tonight it's an empowered plan. When I don't know how it's going to happen, it really don't matter. Because God knows how it's going to happen. There's many, Brother Rick, I know y'all just had new orientation for some of your missionaries. There's a lot of times I think about missionaries And they hear all this, and they're excited to get there, and they're excited to do. And then they get out into the highways and hedges of deputation, and it's like, oh no, this ain't ever going to happen. But you know what? They can't make it happen. But God, if that's the plan, if they're on the right path, God will make it happen. It don't make sense in my mind. It doesn't make sense on paper. But God empowers. With Christ, we can do what? All things. Do you believe that? Then why do we hesitate? If we know that God says to go and God says to do, why do we hesitate when we don't know how? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Because I'll tell you, when it comes to the path of God, I sure don't understand a lot of times. If I trusted my understandings, I would probably still be back at Friendship Baptist Church doing nothing. Or might even be out of church. I don't know. But when I heard the plan that God had for my life, oh, I had several people, family mainly, work people also, that I told them what God had called me to do, wanted me to do, the path that God had put us on, they said, you're crazy. I quit Freightliner. And my boss says, you're going to do what? You're going to leave this job, making the money you make, to go pastor a church and make nothing? Yep, that's what I'm going to do. You'll never make it. That's been a long time ago. I don't even know. I'm trying to think. If my other brain was here, she could help me, but Carrie was just a little one. How old are you now? 26. Man, my wife's old. That's been 20-some years ago. You'll never make it. Here I is. Still going down the path that God's called us to do. It's an empowered plan. Look over to the book of Zechariah. See, tonight, a lot of times I've seen people get excited about God's plan. I've seen people say, I'm going to do something for God. I've seen camp over the years, teenagers surrender to God and sell out to God to go home to a church that was not with them, but was against them. We need to be understanding that God is able to do exceedingly above. Look over in Zechariah chapter 4. And verse number 6. It says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the power. I can't figure this thing out. It don't make no sense to me. Not by my strength, not by my thoughts, but by God's. He's empowered us to go from point A. If God says He's going to get you somewhere, if you'll just listen, you'll get to where God wants you to be. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 this evening. Look at verse number 3. According, that's what it's about. It's not according to me. Listen. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Tonight, I want to tell you, tonight, there's no way you can do it. But God can. And God has a plan. He's ordered your steps. He tells you where He's going and He wants you to get there. And we've been empowered through Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We mentioned this verse earlier, but let's see it in writing. Now, verse 20, Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do. Do you really believe God can do? Hello, that was a question. Do you really believe God can do? I do too. But what could He do? I wonder if we would really sell out, if we would really put our faith and our trust in God. What could God do in our lives? Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's what empowers us. That's what's going to get us down the road for the cause of Christ. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Preacher, I don't know what we're doing. Preacher, I don't know how it's going to work. Preacher, who are you trusting? See, this is an established plan. It's an exciting plan. But it's also God has empowered us with Himself. One more place. Look at Psalms chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. Look at verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth, therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with the swelling thereof. And then he says, Salah. Stop and think about that just a minute. When God gets you on that path and when you're following after God and you're empowered by God, just always remember, there's nothing really to fear. It's God that's going to do this. It's God that's going to get us through this. You know, today, most people's got cell phones with cameras on it. People take pictures all the time. One of the down notes of that is nobody ever downloads them to the right places, so you lose all your pictures. It's the downside of that world. But I love, and I do it every once in a while, I love to grab some of the boxes that I know that we've got old pictures in. Start running down memory lane to see where we've been, what God's done, and where God's brought us from, and where God has brought us to. Oh, it's an exciting trip. Oh, it's not an easy trip. But God's taking care of us all the way. Always remember, God will empower. And then last of all, in this plan, it is an established plan. It's an exciting plan. It's an empowered plan. Have you ever... for us old folks. I remember when Mom and Daddy would be planning a vacation. They had this book that had motels in it. And they'd start thumbing through that thing at all the motels of where we were going. Man, them pictures look really good. Think, man, this is great. And you get there, and you're like, am I at the right place? I don't look nothing like this picture. In our plan that God has for our lives, there's a beginning. Where was that beginning? Actually, I believe it was when you were conceived. Because the Bible says He knew us in our mother's womb. But it really got started when I finally said, Lord, save me. And oh, I've not always been on the right plan. I've not always been on that right path. But God always brings me back. God always puts me in the right place. And I've enjoyed the trip. I've seen God do exciting things. But today, back to our GPS, one of the most exciting things about a GPS screen, you know what it is? When you finally get close enough that you can see that little finish line, that means you're almost there. You've traveled. You've been through all the storms and been through all the troubles and trials, but finally, home is just on the other side. And see, this plan that God has for us, this path that God wants us to be on, oh, it is established. God knows exactly what He's doing. He thinks, He knows for our end. Can I tell you, this is a rewarding plan. It's going to be worth it all. Oh, I've seen some great things along the way. I've seen God do exciting things along the way. But thank God one of these days, the traveling days will be over with. I'll be home and we'll be rewarded by just being around the throne of God. The benefits. Look up Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is a rewarding trip. Oh, I've looked through the book. I've thumbed through the pages. And I've seen all the little pictures that God has given us. But I promise you, when we get to heaven, as much as I've read, as much as I've seen, as much as I've heard, it won't be nothing like when you're there. It will be better than the picture was, I promise you. Look here in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. He's not saying when we're in heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This path that we're on, this plan that God has, if you're saved tonight, I can tell you exactly where it ends up. With great reward. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself. That where He is, will be also. What a reward. Oh, I'm telling you, I've heard people say it, and I say it even today, and it's still true. You know, I don't know where you might work public work, if you work public work. But in these days, I know one of the greatest things, money's nice always, but the benefits. Your health insurance, your eye insurance, your dental insurance, your retirement plan, all that stuff. It's like, wow, this is good. Oh, child of God, that ain't nothing compared to what God's got. His rewards are out of this world, I promise you. Our little brains can't even begin to imagine what God has got in store, the Bible says. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. talking about the reward of this plan. I remember back when I was at Freightliner, I didn't know a whole lot, so I don't know a whole lot about 401ks and all that. That's just nothing I've ever really got into as far as how the stock markets and all those things work. But I remember right before I left Freightliner, I don't remember the number amount, but the economy went south in a hurry. And I remember I got my statement for my 401k, and it had literally been chopped in half. What'd you do? I'd never seen that money. I just kept on working. But I can tell you that what God's got in store for us at the end of our journey, and you don't have to wait to get there, it's now. You don't have to worry about it ever getting old. It won't ever get cut in half. Look here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Now, I don't want to be mean about it. I understand the songs, and I understand people saying about, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven to see Mama and Daddy and see all the street of gold and all the pretty rocks and all that stuff, you know, the gate of pearl. What did that just say? For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you're going to look for when you get to heaven? You're going to look for Him. That's what makes heaven heaven. Look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that is it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to do all things unto Himself. See, there's a reward. You go over in the book of Revelation, it talks about that place of no more. There's no more pain, sickness, heartaches, death. We're going to be eternally around the throne of God. Now, let's finish with one more verse. Look at 2 Timothy. Paul here speaks of his journey. Tonight, he was on a journey. We're on a journey. God had a plan for him. God had a plan for me. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look in verse number 6. This is what Paul said through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But listen to the last. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Paul says, I've been on my journey. I've been on the path that God wanted me to work. Paul says, I have finished my course. Tonight we need to realize that God does have a plan. He's ordering our steps. He has a direction He wants everyone in here to be going. Now your direction might be a little different than my direction. If I told you, I don't know many things in Charlotte. We'll say, let's all meet at Carowinds. There's a lot of different ways to get from here to Carowinds. Some are shorter, some are longer, some are easier, some are faster. But guess what? In the end, we all end up at Carowinds. Same thing in our spiritual life. God's got me on a path that maybe God will never put you on that path. And you're on a path that God might not ever put me on. But I know that He's directing my steps. He'll direct your steps. So tonight, the key is to say, I finished my course. When the Lord comes, I want to be at the finish line. I want to be right where God desired me to be, doing exactly what God wanted me to do. See, that's the path, that's the plan that He's ordered for my life. I hope you'll want to finish your course. So when God comes for you, you'll be finished with what He had for you to do. Let's stand together this evening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this evening. Are you enjoying the trip? You sure ought to be. If you ain't enjoying the trip, maybe you're in the wrong seat. The Lord's wanting to order my steps. He's wanting to order your steps. He wants to direct your path. We didn't read the verse, but the Bible has a verse in there. I can't remember right now off the top of my head where it's at, but it says He directs us with His eyes. Tonight, you know how you see direction from the Lord through His eyes? You better be looking at Him. Tonight, are you looking to Christ for your direction? It's established. It is exciting. It's empowered. And boy, I'm telling you, I've been rewarded along the way, man. But one of these days, Paul says, my course will be finished. And there's something laid up in heaven just for me. He got a crown. I can have a crown. Tonight, hope you're on the right journey. Brother Russell, sing one verse tonight. If you need to slip around this altar, you come.
Take up thy cross and follow me.
Paul says, follow me.
I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today.
Listen.
Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Are you? Will you?
Wherever He leads, I'll go.
What I told Him.
I'll follow my Christ, who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Amen. Hope you have a good evening. Hope you'll have a good week. Hope to see each of you Wednesday night, Lord willing. Going to be looking at the prayer. Lord willing, if God don't change our mind, we looked at the purpose of prayer a couple Wednesday nights ago while we pray. And we're going to look at the power of prayer. Well, there's power in prayer. And I hope you can get hooked into that power. You know, that receptacle over there should have 20 amps of juice coming through it if you needed it. But you'll never get any of it unless you get plugged in. And you'll never get the power of God's prayer until you get plugged in. So I hope you'll be with us on Wednesday. Remember the prayer list. Remember those are sick and different things. Remember revival. Please, please, please pray that God would just do what God does and that we'd get out of the way and let Him do what He wants to do. So, all right, let's pray and we'll let you get out here. Father, we sure are thankful once again for the goodness, for the mercy, the grace. And God, thank You, Lord, for the establishment, God, of our lives, Lord. Lord, I would like to say I've always listened. I would like to say, Lord, that I've always stayed on path. But, Lord, I know that's not true. But, Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that when I do take the wrong turns or get a little bit lost in this old life, God, that I can always come back to where You are and get back on the right path. Lord, I just ask You tonight, God, to help us all want to finish our course. God, to be where You want us to be, doing what You want us to do. And Lord, we just thank You again for all You do. Go with us tonight, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to continue to be that light and salt. And we sure will thank You, Lord, for all You've done. For it's in Your name, the name that's above all names, that we do pray. Amen. Have a good evening.